I'm sorry. We don't know. We are Hashem. All right, so we'll say good morning. Today's daf is Kuf Yud Dalid. We are going to go ahead and begin on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. 113b. Now I realize I recorded the rest of the daf yesterday. I didn't upload it. So Mirat Hashem, I'll upload it this morning and it'll be there. But we're gonna pick up with Machriz Rava, which is three lines up from the bottom of the daf. So you all in Mirat Hashem, we'll just do a little bit of retroactive homework in Mirat Hashem. We'll pick up from there. So Rava Machriz Rava. Rava announced the following. He said, "V'itemer Rafuna, the salkin le'ilin odinachlin le'tasa." To those who go ahead, the Sakin Le'ilah means those who go up, referring to those Jews who go from above El Teretz Yisrael. Udinachtin Latasa, and those Jews who go from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Hay Bar Yisrael the Yodah Sadusa L'Kusi. So a Jew who knows testimony for a Kusi. So we'll say, you know, it's interesting. Kusi, we know, is a specific designation. We spoke about the Kusim many times throughout our journeys through Shas. Remember, again, the Kusim were an indigenous people from Kusa who were resettled in Eretz Yisrael by Shalmaneser, the king of Ashur. And when the Kusim were in Eretz Yisrael, they were idolaters. There was an outbreak of lions in Eretz Yisrael, which is strange because lions are not indigenous to Eretz Yisrael. And they converted. The problem, of course, was that their conversion was always suspect. Therefore, again, the Kusim are always treated in an interesting way in Halakha. So we'll see, for example, the Gemara brings down, I think we saw this in Ksuvis, the Gemara in Chula brings it down, that generally any mitzvah that the Kusim do, they do better than Jews. So meaning, what they take on again with incredible scrupulousness. The problem is, they don't take on a lot of stuff. So in general, and they were also found to be worshipping Avodah Zarah even after their conversion. So there's a discussion of halacha in terms of what their status is. So the Gemara says over here, if somebody knows, testimony for a kusi, but sometimes kusi is really also used just as another name for a non-Jew. So someone knows testimony for a kusi, below tavu mine, and he was not told by the court that he has to show up and testify. Va'azel va'asid le'bedine dekusi al Yisrael chavrei, and he goes it anyway, and he testifies on behalf of a kusi against another Jew. Mishamtin onle. Ultimately, again, we excommunicate him. Meaning, so for a Jew to willingly go to court on behalf of a kusi against another Jew is not appropriate, says the Gemara, says Rava, and mishamtin onle. We would put a person like that in shamt, would excommunicate him. My taima. Now, what's the reason for that? The inhu mafki mamona top of kuf yodalid akuma dechad. To which the Gemara answers because top line of kuf yodalid will say because again kusim the way they adjudicate halacha is they will go ahead and they will extract money based on the testimony of one witness. Rashi says akuma dechad. And therefore it turns out that the Jew, by testifying on behalf of the Kusi, has caused another Jew to suffer a loss. Shalokidin. Rabbi says Shalokidin means not in accordance with the halacha. Since we paskin that Lamaisa, again, you could only go ahead and extract money based on two witnesses. So testifying on behalf of a Kusi and causing another Jew to lose money through one witness is not appropriate. V'lo amran el achad. So we'll say that's only true that a Jew can't give testimony on behalf of a Kusi. On behalf of a Kusi, when it's in the Kusim court, the Kusi court, and they're going to extract money based on the testimony of one witness. Aval betray lo. But Jabal say ultimately, again, if it's going to be based on two witnesses, then it's not a problem. V'chad nami lo arman ella debedine demegista. Furthermore, extracting money on the basis of one witness is only problematic in the Beis Din of Megista. Rabbi Sev Rashi says, "Bnei Kfar she'en yodin ladon b'mishpat." It's only if you're going to go ahead and go to testify in one of the village courts. So one of the village courts where they're not really proficient in halacha, about Beidar, but if you're going to go ahead and testify in one of their major courts, Rashi says Shilton, then inhu nami chad amemusa shadule. Then Rabbi say in the regular Kusi courts, so they also only extract money based on the testimony of two witnesses, and the most that you can go ahead and accomplish through one witness is a shvua, is an oath, just like our Beis Din. So the point that Rav is making over here is, you can give testimony on behalf of the Kusi in the Kusi court, as long as the Kusi court uses the same standards of judgment as a Beis Din would. But if the Kusi court does not go ahead and use the same standards of judgment, then the Jew should not participate. Amar Rav Ashi, ki avina be Rav Huna ibaylan. Rav Ashi said, when I was in the house of Rav Huna, they asked the following question. Adam chashuv de sanchi aleika betray, mafki mamona apume, velo iboile lissahude. So listen to this. In the Kusi court, apparently, when it comes to an Adam chashuv, if an important person is giving testimony, they will treat the testimony of an important person like two witnesses. So, should an important person go ahead and try to avoid going to the Kusi court knowing that they will treat his word like two witnesses and extract money based on his word? O Dilma, Kevan Dadam Chashafu, Lomati Mishtamit Lu Mati Lesahude. Or on the other hand, do we say, listen, because he is an important person, he's not really going to be able to avoid being pulled into the Kusi court, and therefore the mice again, they're going to find him, and therefore because they're going to find him, he should just comply with them from the outset. To which the Gemara says, Teku. It's a good kasha, we're not sure. Amar Rav Ashi, Hai Bar Yisrael Dezabon Lei Arla Obi Kochavim, Am Mitzra De Bar Yisrael Chavrei, Mishamtin Alei. Bose, this is very interesting. If a Jew goes ahead and sells property to a Gentile that borders, so a Jew, let me clarify this case. A Jew sells a piece of property that borders on another Jew's property. So Reuven sells a piece of property that borders on Shimon's property, and Reuven sells that property to a Gentile, to an Ovid Kochavim. So the Gemara says, Mishamtinale, we excommunicate Reuven, the seller. Now, my time, what's the reason of Mosai? And Ime, Mosai, that by the way, this is not talking about Eretz Yisrael, right? Eretz Yisrael selling property to non-Jews is a much bigger problem. Meaning, again, there's potential Isra Doraisa, which, again, without getting political in any way, not talking about land for peace now. I'm talking about, again, just the concept of selling land in Israel to a Goy. That's why, just by the way, one of the major controversies regarding Heter Mechira, so is the notion of selling land to non-Jews. That's why many who are against Heter Mechira in general say you're not allowed to sell Eretz Yisrael lands to non-Jews. Now again, there's a counter argument for it, but the question, the kasha sometimes is stronger than the teretz. It's definitely a teretz. In any event, we're leaving aside Eretz Yisrael right now. This is talking about Stam. A Jew goes ahead at Shimon. Shimon lives in his home. He's a bordering piece of land. Reuven owns land. He sells it to a Gentile. So we will excommunicate the seller. My time. What's the reason? So there's halacha bar metzra. This is actually interesting halacha. The halacha bar metzra says that if I am an next door neighbor to Reuven, and Reuven's selling his property, so the halacha is Reuven is supposed to give me, the neighbor, the right of first refusal. As the neighbor, supposed to get first crack at it. The Rabbah say he doesn't have to give me a discount, meaning I have to pay market. But Lamais again, the halacha of bar metzra, which again, this is we'll see this actually in Bava Metzia, Meretz Hashem, is this agricultural land, residential land? So we'll get into all of that later. But if you want to say that the issue over here is that Reuven sold it to the Gentile without first offering it to the Jewish neighbor, v'hamar marbi, we learn zovin me'akum v'zovin la'akum lekam u'shum dinan de bar metzra. We learned that if you sell property from, if you bought property from a Gentile, or if you sell property to a Gentile, the halacha of bar metzra does not apply. So we'll say again, we'll explore that in greater depth later on, but for now we'll take it at face value, that the halacha of bar metzra literally means a neighboring piece of land, does not apply when buying and selling to Gentiles. So it can't be because of bar metzra. Ela da amrilei, Arbois li arye amatsroi. So rather it's because Shimon ultimately, again, is the guy who's living there, says to Reuven, the seller, the person who sells to the Gentile, you put a lion at my border. In other words, I will say that the Gemara is talking under a particular climate. And under the particular climate that the Gemara is expressing is that there weren't always easy relationships between Jews and Gentiles. So the Jew says, you've gone ahead and you've put a potential source of danger at my doorstep. And for that, ultimately, again, that's inappropriate. Therefore, as a result of that, we will go ahead and we will put Reuven the seller in Shanta. So the Gemara says, so now what does that accomplish? So it accomplishes the following. We put Reuven in Shanta, next communication, until Reuven agrees to take upon himself any onsin, any extenuating circumstances that may arise as a result of the Gentile living next to the Jew. In other words, that we say to Reuven, okay, you want to sell the property to a Gentile, you have to guarantee that if anything ever happens to Shimon, this is the guy who lives there, as a result of the Gentile living next door, that you, the seller, will guarantee to make Shimon whole. So should the Gentile do anything adverse or do anything negative to the Jew who lives there, that you, the Jewish seller, will take responsibility for that. Okay, amazing Gemara. Mishnah. Not lo mochsen es chavaros. So we're still back to the tax collectors. The tax collectors took my donkey, the nosn lo chomer acher, and they gave me another donkey instead. Rabbi said, help me pash this over here. What happened? The tax collector feels bad. He feels bad. So he took my donkey. No, he doesn't feel bad enough to give me back my donkey. He'll give me a different donkey. So he takes my big donkey, gives me back a small donkey. Or v'naslo chamar acher, not lo listim es ksuso, v'naslo ksus acher. So we'll say, if a robber stole my coat and he gave me a different coat back, it's cold, he feels bad. It's a robber with a compassion. So he takes my coat, he gives me a different coat instead. So what's that? Hare elu shelo. So I will say, ultimately, again, these items belong to the individual who received them. Mipnei shabayla mesiashu. And I will say, and remember, now the issue at play over here is, I've had something taken from me, and I've been given another item. But I also understand that chances are that item is what? That item is stolen. Right, because remember again, we're also dealing, as we set up in the previous sugya, with tax collectors, either again, who are just taxing more than what they're permitted, or self-appointed tax collectors. But either way, it's effectively theft. And obviously the case of the thief is obviously theft as well. So I am receiving stolen property to kind of compensate me for the property that was taken from me. So the Mishnah Paskins, I am permitted to keep this property that I receive. Why? Because the assumption is that the Bailim, the original owners of this property, had Yeush. They despaired of ever retrieving this item. Therefore, they relinquished ownership. Therefore, again, I am permitted to keep these items. Says the Gemara, Hamatzel min anar min agayisel min alistim. Similarly, if I retrieve property, right, property that was lost in the river, or property that was taken by Gaius. Gaius, I will say, is like a marauding troop. Or min alistim, or from robbers. Im this yashim ha-bailim hara elu shalom. But say, if the owners despaired, if the owners gave up hope of ever retrieving the object, then ultimately, again, I am permitted to keep it. Say, if somebody lost a swarm of bees, im nis yaishu, if the owners gave up hope from retrieving it, hare elu shalo, then ultimately, again, ultimately, these belong to the finder. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka, ne'emanas isha okatan lomar, mikan yotzel nechil zeh. Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka said, a woman or a katan are believed to say that we saw the swarm come from this direction. Umahalech b'soch sandei shel chaver. Again, we'll define all these cases. Similarly, again, we'll say, if I lost my swarm of bees, second wide line, kof yudalad amadalad, I lost my swarm of bees, and they entered into the field of my friend. So what's the halacha? La, I am permitted to walk into the field of my friend. Lahatzil es nechilo. So I am permitted to effectively trespass into someone else's property in order to save my swarm. Bim hizik, and if I damaged property while trying to retrieve my swarm, mishalim mashahizik. I am permitted, so I pay for what I damaged. Abalo yakutz es soho, amanas litin es adam. But I will say, what can't I do? I can't cut down a branch from my friend's tree with the intention to pay him back. Now, that case would be, let's say my swarm of bees settled on a branch. So I don't want to start taking the bees one by one. What I want to do is I just want to cut off the branch, take the branch with me. So I can't say I'll cut off the branch with the intention, of course, to compensate the owner for the damages. Rabbi Shmuel ben Noach, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka, Omer, Af Kotzei Tzvinos Lezdam. Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka says, you could even cut off the branch with the intention to pay back the damages. It says the Gemara Tana, in Natal Machzir, Lebailim HaRishonim, Kasavar Yeyosh Kedei Lokan. Now we have another Braisa. So the Braisa, remember, the first statement of the Mishnah said that if something is stolen from me, or for that matter, again, if the tax collector takes something from me, and what happens? And gives me another object instead. So what are the Mishnah paskin? The Mishnah said, I can keep it. Now, what's the logic in the Mishnah statement? The logic is because we assume that Yeyush is Kani, that once the owner is despair of retrieving the object, plus again, there's also a Shinui Rishus, there's also a change in domain, right? So the halacha is I'm permitted to keep it. Yet we have another brisa that says, in Natal, if you received another object from the tax collector, or from the robber, the halacha is machzir lebailim harishonim. You should return the object. You should return the object ultimately again to the original owner. Now, both say this brisa contradicts our Mishnah. So, according to the brisa, what do we hold? Yeyush kadei lo kani. That yeyush by itself does not affect acquisition. Look at Rashi. Yeyush kadei shenes yaishu habailim biyad muchos lo kana hamuchos biyush levado belonis sinas damim oshinoi maisa. So we'll say, apparently the Brisa holds that Yeyush by itself does not affect ownership. See, even though when the tax collector took it, or when the robber took it, the owners despaired of retrieving it, so despairing of the owners by itself without either a transfer of funds or some type of change in the object does not affect acquisition. Therefore, again, when I receive the object from the tax collector, or from the robber, I have to go ahead and seek out the original owner. Other sirabos say that the way to read the braisa is, if I want to return the object to the original owner, then I should do so. In other words, but if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, im rotza im balahachzir shechasidhu. It's a midas chasidus. If I want to be a chasid and return the object to the original owner, that's fine, that's nice. Am I obligated to do that? No, no obligation, but if I want to, I can. My taima, yeyush kidei kani. So I'll say, ultimately again, because yeyush by itself does affect acquisition, mihu, amar efshi b'mamon she'eno shali, but if I say I don't want to keep stuff that's not mine, machzir lebailim harishon. I'll say, I have the right to go ahead and return it to the original owner. So we'll say fundamental machlokes between our Braisa and our Mishnah, but our Mishnah is indeed the halacha. That technically speaking, if I go ahead and I have an object stolen, but the thief gives me back something else instead, on a technical level, I am permitted to go ahead and keep that object the thief gives me, because yeyush kedei kani, we hold that yeyush is kone. However, again, there is a midas chasidus. There is an additional level of piety to say, look, I don't want to benefit from someone else's loss. I don't want to benefit from someone else's stolen property. And so I don't want to keep this. Again, I might be halachically entitled to keep it, but I don't have a desire to keep it. The Gemara goes weiter. Hare elu shalom nesha bailim. So remember again, so the Mishnah said, when I receive that object from the thief, from the tax collector, I can go ahead and keep it. Why? Because the assumption is that the owners had yeyush and despaired of retrieving. Amar Ravashi. So Ravashi said, lo shano elo listim oved kochavim. So this is only true. This is only true. We're talking about Gentile robbers. Avalistim Yisrael lo. But Rabbi will say the halacha does not apply ultimately with Jewish thieves. Why not? So the Gemara says, Savar lemachar nekitna lebedina. Because Rabbi will say, when it comes to a Jewish thief, so when I know that my object was stolen by Jews, I know that I have recourse. What's my recourse? My recourse is Beis Din. I'm never truly miyayish. If a Jew steals my property, I'm not miyayish. Why? Because I say to myself, tomorrow I'll take him to Beis Din. To which the Gemara says, but with a Gentile thief, that's when there's yeyush, because they don't really have any recourse. Maskev la Rav Yosef. Adarava, ipcha mistabra. I would say just the opposite. Akum de daine bigiti lo miyayish. Yisrael kevan de me'amri me'mar miyayish. So listen to this, Rav Yosef. I say just the opposite. You see, with a Gentile, I actually have greater recourse. Why? Because I could take him technically to secular court. Secular court has the power of enforcement. With a fellow Jew, I will say, I'm limited to what? Taking him to Beis Din. And remember, again, Beis Din doesn't always have the power of enforcement. Beis Din has the power of psak halacha. Beis Din has the power, ultimately, again, of shamta, of excommunication. But Beis Din doesn't always have the enforcement arm that secular court has, which is quite interesting. Therefore, again, says Rav Yosef, I think the halacha might in fact be just the opposite. Ela I itmar a seifa itmar. Rather, if you're going to make that statement, make it on the seifa. Hamatzel mina akum or mina listim. It will say, if ultimately, look at the. So let's assume this goes on the end of the Mishnah. That if one goes ahead and retrieves an object from a Gentile or from robbers, im nisyaishu habaylim in. So we'll say, if ultimately again the owners had Yeyush, then I, the retriever, am permitted to go ahead and keep it, however, stama lo. But if I don't know if the owners had Yeyush, then I'm not permitted to keep it. Lo shano ela akum. That's only trouble. Say, by danjus, mishum didaini bigiti. Because ultimately, again, because there's the ability to go ahead and retrieve the object through the courts. Avalistim yisra kevan da'amra memri miyayish. But ultimately, again, but by a Jewish thief, because of us, the only recourse I have with him is Bezin. Even though Bezin could give me the license to go to Jewish court, but I have to begin with Beis Din, and since the enforcement arm of Beis Din is going to be limited, so ultimately, again, the victim is Miyaish. Tanan Hasam. So we learned over there. So Tanan Hasam. Oros Shal Baal Habayis. Machshava Mitamasa. So also, we actually had this earlier. The halacha is that in general, a utensil is Mekabel Tumah when it's complete, when it's a finished product. So when does an item become a finished product? When the owner decides that it's finished. So the moment that I decide cognitively that the object is finished, at that moment it's mekabel tumah. So it says the Gemara Tanan Hasam, Oros Shabala Bayis Mashav Mitamasan. So the skins, the hides of a balabos. So when he decides that they are complete, they're mekabel tumah. Bishal Abdon, what we'll say the tanner, in Mashav Mitamasan. Thought, in other words, even if the tanner says, aye, it's a finished product, it's not makabel tumah. Why not? Because it was, I remember, again, the halacha is that the tanner plans on selling it to someone else. Because he plans on selling it to someone else, therefore what? There's still more to be done with it. Because there's still more to be done with it, therefore the mice, again, it's not a finished product, therefore it's not makabel tumah. Shagazlon, ein machshava mitamasan, v'shalganov machshava mitamasan. Supposed to listen to this. A gazlan, remember, a gazlan is someone who ultimately steals openly. So for a gazlan, his machshava does render the item a finished product, and therefore it is makabel tumah. However, again, I'm sorry, I just said that wrong. A gazlon, his machshava does not render the object a finished product, and therefore it's not makabel tumah. But a ganov, who steals secretly, so his machshava will render it a finished product. Now, why this distinction? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi is over. Gazlon ein machshavto mitam asan delav didehu dechevan diyada man shakle mine lo miyayish. So let's listen to this. The assumption over here is that because a gazlon steals publicly, and therefore the victim knows who the thief is, the victim does not despair of retrieving the object. So because since he knows the identity of the thief, he'll bring him to Beis Din and he'll retrieve the object. Therefore, again, the gazlon is not the owner. Because the gazlon is not the owner, his thought process does not impact the status of the utensil. On the other hand, or of the hide in this case, on the other hand, when it comes to a ganav, the owner doesn't know who stole the object. Because of that, he has yeyush. Because he has yeyush, ultimately the ganav acquires the object. And therefore, if the ganav decides ultimately again that the hide is finished, it in fact is makabel tumah. So says the Gemara. Reb Shimon, we'll say that's the opinion of the Rabbanon. So according to the Rabbanon, essentially, again, a ganav goes ahead and acquires the item because you assume there's yeyush of the owners, but a gazlan does not. Reb Shimon says chiluf hadvarim. Shimon says just the opposite. Shal gazlan machshava mitamasan. So we'll say Reb Shimon argues on the Rabbanon, and according to Reb Shimon, a gazlan in fact acquires the object. So because he acquires the object, his mindset goes ahead and establishes the item as a ready to be makabel tuma item. Shal ganav in machshava mitamasan. Rabbanon say ultimately again with a ganav, if machshava is not metame, the fi shelo nisyaishu habaylim. Because ultimately, again, by a ganov, the owners have not despaired of retrieving the object. Now, both say, now what's Reb Shimon's logic? So Reb Shimon's logic is like this. If you're going to be a gazlan, then what? Chances are you are above the law. Why? Because Rabbi said, if you're going to steal in plain sight, and you don't care if the owners know that you stole from them, that means that you're so powerful that you don't worry about the reach of the law. Ma she'en kein, a ganav, is someone who has to steal secretly and quietly, which means he's still within the purview of the law. Therefore, Reb Shimon says, there's a fundamental machlokus between Reb Shimon and the Rabbanon. The shaila is at what point in time does the victim have yeyush? According to the Rabbanon, if lemaisa by a gazlon, the victim does not have yeyush, because he assumes that because the identity of the perpetrator is known, he will be able to prosecute the case and potentially retrieve the item. Therefore, he's not miyayish. Ganov, I don't know who stole from me. Therefore, I have yeyush. Shimon is just the opposite. By a gazlon is above the law. If he's stealing publicly, he's above the law. Therefore, the owners have yeyush. By a ganov, there's the possibility that through an investigation, they'll discover ultimately who the perpetrator was. Therefore, there's no yeyush. So says the Gemara, Amar Ula, Machlokes Bistam. So Rabbi say, this is, the machlokes is only in a case of stam. Rabbi say, stam means, look at Rashi, Delo sham inan demiyayish. Devaha pligi demar sabra stam geneva yeyush, bailamu, velo stam gezelo, mar sabra chilip advarim. The machlokes is only in a case where we did not hear the victim articulate that he was miyayish or not. Stam means we didn't hear his articulation. Aval biyadua, but Rabbi say, ultimately, again, if we know that at the end of the day he was miyayish, then divrei hakol yeyush kani. Everyone will agree that in fact that yeyush is kona. Rabba Amar Rabba says no. Biyadua nami machlokes. Even where we know that the owner was miyayish, there's still a machlokes. Amar le Abaye the Rabba. So Abaye says to Rabba, lo tiflo galei du'ula. So don't argue. Don't argue on Ula's case. This is not masnis in kavase lefish lonis yaishu habaylim. Because the Bosei says quite explicitly that what in the Mishnah, that's why ultimately again can the individual keep the object, because the owners did not yet have yeyush. Taimer lonis yaishu habaylim. The reason why the person could keep the object is because the owners did not have yeyush. Aval nis yaishu habaylim hari elu shalo. But the Bosei, if there was yeyush, then ultimately he would be able to keep it. Amrlei, so he says to him, Anan, lefi she'ein yeyush bailim masnin alei. And our version of the Mishnah read, because there was no yeyush bailim. So it's not, okay. So we have supposed to say fundamental machlokes. Again, just keep in mind, the fundamental dispute over here is, at what point in time is there yeyush? What point in time is the victim miyayish? Is the victim miyayish in the case of a gazlon, not in the case of a ganav like Rabba, excuse me, like Reb Shimon, or is the victim yaish in the case only of a ganav, not in the case of the gazlon, like the Rabbanon? Fine. So says the Gemara. So not lu muchsin chamoro. So also remember again, the Mishnah said that if the tax collector took my donkey and gave me another donkey instead, I'm permitted to keep the donkey I received. So money. We'll say, whose opinion does this reflect? I Rabbanon kashi gazlon. So if it's the Rabbanon, we'll say, then the question, the kashi would be on the case of a gazlon, because according to the Rabbanon, there's no yeyosh in the case of a gazlon. I Reb Shimon kashi ganav. And if it's Reb Shimon, the kashi would be in the case of a ganav, because according to Reb Shimon, it's in the ganav case ultimately again where he's not miyayish. To which the rest of Bishlam of the Ula, the Amr Biyadua, Kani, Hach, and Amin Biyadua, the Devi Akal. So, according to Ula, who will set up the Mishnah as a case of Yadua, where we know the owner had Yeyosh, so then it makes sense. That's why the Mishnah paskins that I could keep the object, because it's talking about where the owner was Miyayish. Ela l'rabba d'amar biyadua na'yum achlokes ha'mani. But according to Ula, who says, that Rabbosai, even in a case where I know that the owner had Yeyosh, there is still a machlokes. So, whose opinion does the Mishnah reflect? Lo Rabbanon v'lo Rabbi Shimon. Rabbosai won't reflect the view of the Rabbanon, nor will it reflect the view of Rabbi Shimon. To which the Gemara answers, I'll tell you, belistim mizuyim Rabbi Shimon. Rabbosai, the Mishnah would be a case of listim mizuyim. Rabbosai, armed robbers. Everyone agrees, or I should say, at least everyone, almost everyone agrees, that in the case of listim mizuyin, that what? That there's yeyush. I will say, in the case of armed robbers, we've actually had this before. In the case of armed robbers, we pretty much always know that the owner despairs of retrieving the item. We can set up the Mishnah's case thing with listim mizuyin. Everyone will agree that because there's yeyush, I, the person who receives the object from either the tax collector or the thief, is permitted to keep the item. Ihaki, if that's the case, hainu gazlan. Rabbosai, isn't listed mizuyin in the same case of gazlan? Einachi na'i, which the Gemara says, you're right, trei gavne gazlan. The Mishnah is just talking about two different cases of gazlan. Fine. Tashma, ha'ganav v'ha'gazlan v'anas hekdeshon hekdeshon shumas and shuman u'mas rosan meiser. So Rabbosai, the Brisa says the following. The Braisa says that when it comes to a ganav, a gazlan, anas, Rabbi say anas is someone who forcibly takes something. So their hekdish, if they're makdish the item they took, it is an effective hekdish. Truma san truma, if they make the item truma, it's an effective designation. And maisro san maisra, if they make it maisra, it's effective as well. So money, we'll say, whose opinion does this reflect? E rabbanon, if you say it's rabbanon, kashya gazlan. Then we also have a problem with the case of Gazlan, because the case of Gazlan ultimately, again, should be a situation where the owners are not Miyayish. Irib Shimin Kashi Ganav, and if Irib Shimin the Kashi Zanganav. And we'll say, again, all we're doing is, it's the same machlokis. Remember, fundamental machlokis, Rabbanon and Rabbi Shimon. The fundamental machlokis is, under what circumstances is a victim Miyayish? According to the Rabbanon, if my object was stolen by a Gazlan, I am not Miyayish. Why? Since I know the identity of the perpetrator, I hope that I can get back the item. If it was stolen by a ganav, I'm miyayish because I don't know who stole it from me. Reb Shimon says just the opposite. Reb Shimon says if it's a gazlon, it must mean because he's above the law, therefore I'm miyayish, I'm not going to get it back. If it's a ganav, I can find out who the perpetrator is and therefore I can get it back. So the Gemara is just trying to figure out all these different brisos, whose opinion they reflect. So says the Gemara, either Reb Shimon kashi ganav, bishlam ula ula damar biyadua kani. So if you say it's ula, according to Ula, who says that if I know the owner was Miyaish, so the individual who has the item could acquire it. How can I be Yadua? So I can set up the price as being a case of Yadua. V'divrei Hakol El Rabba Darn B'Yadua Naim Machlokes HaMani. Rabba says, according to Rabba, who says that even in a case where it's known that the owner had Yeyosh, there's still a Machlokes. Whose opinion does this reflect? The Rabban of Lord Rabbi Shimon. It can't be Rabban, nor can be Rabbi Shimon, to which the Gemara says, you're right, Hachanami, what's the case? Belistim Mizuyim Rabbi Shimoni. We'll say, again, we'll set up the case as armed robbers, because everyone agrees that what? In a case of listim Mizuyim, armed robbers, that there is Yeyosh. Ihachi Hainu Gazlan. Aye. But is that not the same case as Gazlan? To which the Gemara says, you're right. Trey Gabne Gazlan. These are two different cases of Gazlan. Bibaisim, the other possibility is Hamas Nisa. Rebbe, but see, the other possibility is whose opinion is reflected over here? It's Rebbe. Rebbe say, what is Rebbe? Say, the sign your Rebbe Omer, Ganov ki Gazlon. Ooh. Rebbe holds Rebbe say that a Ganov is like a Gazlon. A Ganov is like a Gazlon. The Kaimalon. And Rebbe say, Amud Beis, the Kaimalon, ki Gazlon ki Rebbe Shimon. And Rebbe say, what does it mean a Ganov is like a Gazlon? And we hold by a Gazlon like Rebbe Shimon. Rebbe say, remember again, what does Rabbi Shimon hold? Rabbi Shimon holds that when there is a Gazlan, the owner has Yeyosh. So Rabbi say it could very well be that we're reflecting the view of Rebbe. Rebbe holds effectively that a Ganav is like a Gazlan, and a Gazlan we pass like Rabbi Shimon, which is another way of saying that both by a Ganav and a Gazlan, the victim is Miyayish. The victim despairs ultimately again of retrieving the item. Rashi says, V'kaimalon, V'kaman, Tehaganav Kigazan, Dekamar Rebbe Kigazan, Reb Shimon Kamar, Dekani. We're supposed to listen to this. So now, here's what's very interesting. So effectively now, we have three different Shitos. We have the Rabbanon, Rabbi Shimon, and Rebbe according to Rebbe. And Rebbe. So according to the Rabbanon, so a victim is Miyaish in a case of Ganov, but not in a case of Gazlon. Since in the case of Gazlon, the identity of the perpetrator is known. According to Rabbi Shimon, just the opposite. A victim is Miyaish by Gazlon, and not Miyaish by Ganov. And now Rebbe comes along and says that Ganov is just like the Gazlon of Rabbi Shimon, which is another way of saying that a victim is Miyaish under all circumstances. Whether it was a Ganov, whether it was a Gazlon, there is Yeyosh on behalf of the victim. So we'll say now a three-way machlokas. Very fascinating. So says the Gemara Gufa. So now we're going to go through this machlokas a little bit. So Gufa says the Gemara Rebbe Omer. Rebbe Omer Ani, Ganav ke Gazlon. Rebbe says, I hold that a Ganav is like a Gazlon. So Yibayilu, ke Gazlon de Rabbanon kamar velo kani. O Dilma, ke Gazlon de Rabbi Shimon kamar velo kani. So we'll say, so here's what's interesting. As much as we just said before that Rebbe said that Ganav is ke Gazlon like Rabbi Shimon, now the Gemara is asking the question. And Rebbe said that a Ganav is like a Gazlon. What did he mean? That a Ganav is like the Gazlon of the Rabbanon? And therefore, what Rebbe say, according to the Rabbanon, there is no Yeyosh in the case of a Gazlan. And therefore, for example, in the case of the stolen hides, so remember again, the Gazlan would not acquire it. Or do we say, reverse the order. Is it like the Rabbanon, ultimately again, that a Gazlan is not Koneh? and therefore again he would not be cornered in the case of the Hides, like we saw before. Or is he saying he's like the Gazlan of Reb Shimon, in which case again we say that a Gazlan does acquire. So the Gemara says, Tashma, not Lumuchsin Chamoro. So remember the Mishnah said that if the tax collector took my donkey and gave me another donkey instead, what's the halacha? I get to keep the new donkey. So money, boss, who's the pain does that reflect? Irabanan Kashya Gazlan. If it's Rabbanan, then we have a question because of the Gazlan case, because according to the Rabbanan, ultimately, there's no Yeyush by a Gazlan. Irab Shimon Kashya Ganav. And if it's Reb Shimon, there's a question on the case of the Ganav. I Amrit Pishlama Rebbe Kigazlan Reb Shimon Kamar. So we'll say, if you hold that when Rebbe says that a Ganav is like a Gazlan, he means like the Gazlan of Reb Shimon. And therefore, just like there's Yeyush by the case of a Ganav, there is also Yeyush by the case of a Gazlan. So Vikani Hamani Rebbe. Then Rabbi said, "There's a correct view of Rebbe. Mishum Haki Kani Eli I Amrit Kigazlan the Rabbanon Kamar Below Kani Hamani." Rabbi said, "If you hold that Rebbe Shimon, the Rebbe, when he says that a Ganav is like a Gazlan, he meant the Gazlan of the Rabbanon. In which case, what? There is no Yeyush. Then what? Whose opinion does the Mishnah reflect? Lo Rebbe, below Rebbe Shimon, below Rabbanon." Hacham asking, Rabbi say, so again, we keep going to our default answer. What's the case? The list in Luzin. So we'll say, here's the great news. The great news is that no matter what you hold in this three-way machlokas, and again, I know it sounds complicated. It's only complicated because I'm going quickly. I apologize for that. But it's actually not, it's just a three-way machlokas as under what circumstances is a victim yaish. We have the Rabbanon, we have Rabbi Shimon, and now we have Rebbe. But the interesting part is, if you want to construct a case that is ledivrei hakol, what is the case where everyone will agree that the victim is miyaish? I'll say, what is that case? List them as we, armed robbers, right? That one says armed robbers, that's a case where the victim totally despairs of ever retrieving the item. And therefore, again, every single time we kind of get into a pickle of trying to interpret the Mishnah according to who, the easiest default answer is list the mezuyim, and the Mishnah goes according to everyone. Iyaki, if that's the case, hainu gazlan. So we'll say, here's the problem. List the mezuyim is a gazlan case. It's a gazlan derivative. To which the Gemara says, you're right, tre gavni gazlan. The Mishnah is just reflecting two different cases of gazlan. Fine. Tashma, ganava gazlan, ma'anaz, vegdeshan, hegdeshu, trumas, and truma, or maestros, and meister. So let's remember again, we just quoted this price before, not Madalif. A Ganav, a Gazlan, and an Anas. So let's say these are all thieves, right? Ganav steals secretly, Gazlan steals publicly. Anas is someone who extorts something. The Anas may end up giving money to someone. So if they're Makdish, the item they took, the Hekdish is good. If they make it Truma, it's good. And if they make it Meister, it's good money. But we'll say, whose opinion is this? Irabanan Kashi Gazlan. So we'll say, if it's the Rabbanon, so that's not true. In a case of Gazlan, Rabbosai, the Gazlan should not be able to make something Hekdish. Why? Because according to the Rabbanon, a Gazlan doesn't acquire the object. Why not? Because according to the Rabbanon, a victim is not Miyash in a case of Gazlan. Irab Shimon, if it's Reb Shimon, Kashi Ganov. We'll say, according to Reb Shimon holds that in the case of a Ganav, the owner is not Miyayish. If the owner is not Miyayish, then the Ganav doesn't acquire. If the Ganav doesn't acquire, it can't be marked to shit. So the Torah Gemara says, Yam Reb Shlomo Ganav Ki Gazlan, the Reb Shimon Kamar. So I'll say, if you say that when Rebbe said a Ganav is like a Gazlan, he meant the Gazlan of Reb Shimon. That means both in the case of Ganav and Gazlan, there's Yeyush. So Mishum Hachi Kani. Then I understand why the Ganav and Gazlan could acquire the object. So we'll say, but if you say that the Ganav is like the Gazlan of the Rabbanon, in which case we're going to both say there is Yeyush by neither of them, ha money, so whose opinion does this reflect? To which the Gemara will say, again, belistim mizuin Rabbi Shimini. You'll have to set it up again, belistim mizuin, and affects the Rabbi Shimini. Ihochi, hainu Gazlan. Both say same thing. If that's the case, is that not the case of Gazlan? Shrei gavni Gazlan. Enoch Nami, the Bryce is just quoting two cases of Gazlan. Amir Ravashi, the Rabbah, Ravashi, the Rabbah, Tashma, Dimasni, Rabbi, the Rabbi Shimon Brei. Then Rabbi taught Rabbi Shimon his son, Lo davar sheyesh bo achrayis mamish, ela afilu para v'chorish bo chomor o mechamer acharav chayovin lahachzer mipnei kavod avin. So we just had this yesterday. So remember again, we learned that if children inherit a stolen item, that what? Even if it's not real property, but it's a cow or it's an object that is visible and discernible, or better stated, identifiable, it's appropriate for children to return the stolen object that their father stole. Why? Mipnei kavod avien. Out of honor for their father. Taima mipnei kavod avien. So we'll say the reason they have to return it, why is that? Out of respect for their father. Ha lav kavod avien lo. But we'll say again, we're not for kavod of their father. In other words, it's not about kavodik for their father's memory that the stolen object be there. So it seems to be the driving factor over here is because of the kavod of their father. but where they're not a covet issue, they wouldn't be hyped to return it. What do you see from here? Shmamina Rebbe Gazlan, the Reb Shimon Kamer Shmamina. We'll say, what do you see from here that Rebbe said? You see from here that when Rebbe said that a ganav is like a gazlan, he meant the ganav of Rebbe, the gazlan of Rebbe Shimon. So we'll say, bottom line of what the sugya seems to be saying over here, though we'll have to see if it bears out halacha lemaisa, is that ganav is like a gazlan, which means that Rebbe will say, under all circumstances, whether the perpetrator is a ganav who steals secretly or he's a ganav who steals publicly, that the halacha would be that there is yeyosh bailin, that ultimately the owner is despair of retrieving the object. Now, Rebbe will say, whether or not that's halacha lemaisa, we'll have to see. But we've established that that is the shita of Rebbe. So now we effectively have still our three different shitos. The shita of the Rabbanon, that by a gazlon, no yeyosh, ganav, yes yeyosh, Rabbi Shimon, just the opposite, gazlon, yes yeyosh, ganav, no yeyosh, and shita of Rebbe, that both by a ganav and gazlon, there is yeyosh. So three we machlokas, how we paskin, we will see. Says the Gemara, So we'll remember again with the Mishnah spoke about the swarm of bees. My bechina. We'll say now the Mishnah said when it came to the swarm of bees. So the Mishnah said v'chein nichil shel dvorim im nisei shari shalev. Somebody lost a swarm of bees and they had yeyosh. So the finder is permitted to keep the swarm of bees. Says the Gemara. I understand. My bechina. Why do you have to add in this case? Meaning you said the principle. The principle is once the owner of the object is miyayish, whoever finds it is permitted to keep it. Why do you have to bring in a specific case of bees? Listen to this. Hachi kamar, this is what it means to say. Afilu nichil shel dvorim. That this applies even in a case of a swarm of bees. I will say this is quite interesting. Why? The kinyan d'rabbananu. Because I will say, when it comes to a swarm of bees, so the ownership is only rabbinic ownership. Now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Kinyan d'rabbananu. De'in kan gezel elem ipnei darke shalom. I will say, interestingly enough, bees, when it comes to ownership of bees, so technically speaking, if I steal your bees, on a Doraisa level, that's not called theft. Why? Because it's hard for a person to really own bees. Why is it hard to own bees? Now, again, if my bees are kept in my house in Akinami, that might be something else. But assuming that the way a person keeps a beehive is that it's out in the open, and technically speaking, the bees can come and go as they please, so it's only really rabbinic ownership over the bees. So I might have thought that in a case Rashi says over the in kan gezel me dark yeshalom da hefker ninu, bees technically fall under the category of hefker. But Tanya, so I might have thought that in a case Rabbi say where the owner over here really only owns it rabbinically to begin with. Sakatay chamina high cave under Rabbanu ba amuhu de konile afilu staminay miayish. So I would have thought that in a case like this where the ownership to begin with is a weakened ownership, when the bees are lost, so automatically there's the Eresh Kamash Malon in the Siyashu Abaylim in Ilo Lo. Therefore, I will say the Mishnah comes to teach you that what? That the only time I could keep the bees is when I know explicitly that the owners were Miyayish. But if I don't know that the owners were Miyayish, I am not permitted to keep the bees. So we'll remember again, the Mishnah said, Yochanan Baruch said that both a woman or a katan are believed. The Mishnah, the Lashon of the here was, they are believed to say, we saw the swarm come from this direction. So as I says, the Gemara, Isha v'katam b'nei edus nenu, are a woman and katan capable of giving edus? Capable, are they believed for testimony? Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel, Hacham Askina, what's the case? Kegon shahayu b'aylim miratim acharehem. Listen to this, I will say. Where we saw, here's the image. Swarm of bees are going in this direction. Right, we see a person running after the bees, and isha v'katan masich lefituman, and a woman or a child go ahead. Rabbi say masich lefituman means they offer information of their own volition. Va'omer mikan yatsa nichilze. We saw the swarm come from this direction. So what they're saying just of their own volition is, we saw the swarm come from the same direction that this person, that these people are coming from now, which would seem to indicate that what? That the people running after the swarm are in fact the owners of the swarm. So what we're seeing over here is, this is a concept of Masiach Lefi Tumah. Masiach Lefi Tumah means that under certain circumstances, even people who are not normally believed to give testimony, if they provide information of their own volition, right, without being prompted, there's a certain believability or legitimacy given to their words because they're just offering it up on their own. So because in this case, the Isha and the Katar and the Masiach Lefi Tumah, then ultimately, again, we will accept their testimony. So we'll say, right, we'll stop over here. I will, Ramir Tashem, record the rest of the the rest of the daf probably until the Mishnah, Mirtz Hashem, a little bit later. So we'll pick up Mirtz Hashem from the Mishnah tomorrow. Shkoyach.